الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وعلى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد في مقام آخر وكن من الشاكرين صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. Every single day, every single moment, we are confronted by the stark reality that we are drowning in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Drowning in the blessings of Allah. A person cannot look at something, they cannot think of something, they cannot participate in an activity, they cannot go to a place, they cannot exist outside the realm of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single moment, every single second of their life is a blessing. The very earth that we walk upon to get here is a blessing. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْصِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورِ. I used to read this verse, but I didn't understand it. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Are those people who walk on the earth? أَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْصِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورِ. Do you feel safe? Do you feel secure that while you're walking, the earth won't just eat you up? It used to sound like, you know, an empty threat. You know, who's walking around and the earth eats them up? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread out the earth for you as like a bed. In fact, the earth is so soft that someday on a spring eve, if you want to lie underneath a tree and just sleep on the earth, you can have a very restful sleep. When the earth itself is so hard, right? Layers and layers and layers of rock, molten lava inside, if you've ever seen it come out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid it out like a bed. It's such a stable bed, right? Imagine if you're trying to, has anyone tried to sleep in a car? Right? No matter how much you sleep in the car or you sleep on the plane, when you get home you're still tired. Because there's some type of vibration, there's some type of movement that doesn't allow a person to come completely at rest. Because when you want to rest, your environment also has to be at rest. But look at the earth. It's not traveling at 10 miles per hour. It's not traveling at 100 miles per hour. Thousands of miles per hour is in rotation. And you and me don't even feel it. Firasha, like a bed. And we walk on it, we rest on it, we live on it in peace. Never once do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْصِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ فَإِذَا هُوْكِيَ تَمُورِ. I understood this when I actually, as Floridian, I guess I can consider myself a Floridian now, should know about this the best. This whole phenomena of sinkholes. A person literally sleeping on their restful bed, swallowed up by the earth. Right? When I heard about that for the first time a couple of years ago, this is the verse that comes to mind. Just going on, you're driving in the middle of the road, and literally the earth opens up in front of you. It takes you in. The earth is a blessing. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every breath that we take is a blessing. A person doesn't take one breath, right, a minute. He's going to take 16 breaths a minute, roughly, right? 12 to 20, but whatever. every single one of those breaths is a blessing. If a person doesn't know how much of a blessing it is, as an asthmatic. I was asthmatic as a child. My child, my middle son, extreme asthmatic. Right? He would have refractory asthma, you'd have to take him in, they had to, you know, get him on stuff, he wouldn't respond to nebulizers, in and out of the ER, time and time and time again. When you have an attack and you bronchoconstrict, even one, you will know the price of even one breath. When you're gasping. Every minute, 16 breaths you're taking. Easy. Smooth sailing. But when a little bit of constriction happens, a little bit of mucus buildup, the reed index gets a little bit high, then you feel it. Every breath is difficult. I've seen my father-in-law on 3 pressors, disseminated fungemia on a vent. His lungs are there, his mind is working, his heart is beating, but his lungs cannot respirate for themselves. The machine had to do it for him. Right? I mean, the head of the ER at that time, she came and she said, in the same way, I can't explain to you. She said, I don't think you understand how sick your father-in-law is. In the same way that I don't perhaps really understand, you know, what it really means to have, you know, cluster of differentiation 20 on a B-cell, CD20. You know, I understand it, but I don't really understand it in the same way that you might understand it as a pathologist. In the same way, I don't think you understand what it means for a person to be on 3 pressors. Basically telling him he's gone down the tubes. He came out of it. And since that day, I don't know how many thousands of breaths he's taken. Thousands. To see it with our eyes. Every beat of our heart is a blessing. How many times? 80 times to 100 times. Every minute, the heart is beating in complete sync. You don't have to remind it. You don't have to put on some type of, you know, pacemaker. You know, people who have an arrhythmia, sometimes you get pacemakers installed. Where's the pacemaker for everyone sitting here? I mean, they talk about automaticity. We don't even know how it works with sodium funny currents and whatnot, but what's and they talk about regulators, but who's regulating the regulator? It's very murky waters. We just know that it beats, and it beats in time. In fact, even if you have a little bit extra beat, right, they can have too much of a good thing. Right? If you go into VFib, you're having extra beats, but it's not good for you, you die. I remember just a few years ago, subhanAllah, I had lived my whole life, such a healthy life, alhamdulillah, playing sports. I used to play basketball, play, you know, all these types of things. I used to play for the team. You know, very healthy individual. Shukr wa alhamdulillah, nashkurullah wa nahmadu. And then all of a sudden I started falling ill. And it turned out it was debilitating. Right? I was in and out of the ER. They're trying to figure out with me. They thought I had a septal defect in my heart. Then, you know, they're trying to figure it out. Then one doctor's thinking, oh, maybe you have, maybe you're just a little bit anxious. I was thinking, I'm really not an anxious person. You know, I'm really not that stressed. He says, oh, you're in fellowship. But it's one of the ER doctors. He's like, he says, maybe we want to give you some Xanax or something. I was like, I'll take it. But I don't really think that I'm, because I was getting like, you know, I don't know, acidotic and, you know, my pH was off and just didn't know what was going on. They did, you know, hi-fi MRIs, this cardiac MRI. Couldn't figure out what's going on. It turned out that I had 20,000 extra beats per day. So much so, right, that it was debilitating. I couldn't really function in normal life. And when they actually went in, the electrophysiologist who was the head of the department at the time, he went in to go and do the procedure to correct it. They found out not one ectopic pacemaker, but 6 ectopic pacemakers at the right ventricular outflow tract. Right? They ablated all of them, alhamdulillah. And after that, I'm back to normal. I remember how I used to be at that time. I was studying for boards at the same time, working at Tacoma at the same time. There's so many other things going on at the same time. And then this was going in and out of the ER with my health. And you know, then you could feel it. Actually, when I was taking my board exam, after having studied, I was being orally medicated at that time for the procedure. And it was like, you know, you take it every 8 hours. And it was like clockwork. If I missed one dose, I would feel my heart taking off. Now, actually, like, this was, I never studied for an exam like I did for my first board exam. It was taking dual boards. And I was probably studying for about 6 months, right? And we're talking about, you know, long days, really. I mean, you're going through tomes and tomes and tomes. It's a little bit different in pathology and other, you know, medical specialties, because in other medical specialties, you do it, right? So you sort of know it, but in pathology, you have to know all the zebras and things way out in left field, and it's just, it's sort of like a, you know, a book field. So I remember I was taking my boards, and I had forgotten to take my medicine. I didn't have my medicine on me, in my heart and all. Right? I had to actually excuse myself from the hall, and, you know, I had to go to the restroom, and I don't know what I did, put water in my face or something, but got through the exam, alhamdulillah. But the idea is that, imagine such a small thing turned my whole life upside down. And it wasn't one of those deadly arrhythmias, just a sort of benign thing. A small thing, my entire life got turned upside down. Every single beat of our heart is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that we can use the bathroom properly is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know a patient can't use the bathroom, you don't send them home. Right? That's one of the things that you wait for. You want to make sure that they can, you know, eat, and they can use the bathroom before you send them home. I was in the Haram one time, I met a Shaykh al-Hadith. Subhanallah, such a pious man, such a knowledgeable man. And he had a lot of love for me. Subhanallah, he teaches at one of the premier institutes in the world. And so he actually invited me and another Molana who was with me. He invited us to his house for his dinner. He said, "I like you guys so much, I want you to come and eat with me." It's a great honor for us that such a big Shaykh al-Hadith invited us to his house. And I was asking him about going to the Haram. And because he had some certain medical problems, he says, "I can't go to the Kaaba because of, you know, issues of najasa and, you know, tahara and so on and so forth." So imagine being a Shaykh al-Hadith, imagine how much love he has for the Kaaba, how much love he has for the Haram. And he's in Mecca. He resides in Mecca, but he can't go to the Haram. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That every time we are able to use the bathroom without any difficulty, this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that we see is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take someone who's never seen before and ask them, "Do you know what red is? Can I tell you what a red rose looks like?" You could spend your entire life, but you'll never let them truly encompass the beauty of a red rose. You could tell them about a yellow lily until you are blue in the face, but you'll never understand what it really means to look at a yellow lily. You can tell them about the flowing rivers and how beautiful they look on a summer's eve, but they'll never really know what that feels like. When my parents were here recently, we went out on the road that goes over to Clearwater. You can pull out over. You know, it's a full moon night. We were sitting underneath one of the passovers, and the water was sparkling like diamonds, right? And it was crashing against the ramparts underneath the things. Such a beautiful, quiet breeze across your face. Person who can't see it will never know till the day that they die what that feels like, what that looks like. Every ray of light, every photon that is hitting the retina is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every photon, right? Every time you've seen your child, that is an error. Can you imagine their parents who are blind? They might have children, but they don't know what their children look like. Allahu Akbar. Don't know what your own son looks like. You don't know what your own daughter looks like. Allahu Akbar. The fact that we have clothes is a ni'mah. لِبَاسَيْ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ. There was one Sahabi who, when he died, he had so little cloth that if you covered the top of his body, his bottom of his body was exposed. If you covered the bottom of his body, the top of his body was exposed. Right? people, I mean, you read the books of fiqh and they talk about people, how you pray salah if you don't have any clothes. Why? Because there are people like that. We go into our closets, they're full. We have so many clothes that we don't know what to do with. There's people who search for one garment. There was one of the, reminder of the story of this one person that the people had came and complained to one of the Khulafa about the governor of such and such place. And they say one of the reasons is that, you know, every so often he doesn't come out to us. So when he had all these different complaints, and so he called him to the court, the Khalifa, and he asked him, what is the complaint? And he told him that it is because I only have one garment, and the day I wash it, I don't have anything to wear, so I have to wait till it dries so I can wear it and it can come out. There's many stories like this from my elders. The fact that we have homes is a blessing. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. Imagine there's some people, every day we drive home to a home. Imagine some people have nothing to drive home to. They have no place on earth that they can call home. You know, now Florida is home for me. I tell you, when I go back to Chicago, I was recently there, I smell the air and I feel this is the dirt that I'm from. I feel at home. You know, as cold as it is, and as excruciatingly painful as it can be in winter, it's still home. Right? You feel it. This is the earth that you're from. And some people have no home as the refugee. They remember having a home, and now there's nothing. They have no place to go to. Where is the sky that shelters them? Where is the earth that houses them? Nothing. There are people who are homeless after homeless after homeless after homeless. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. On a rainy day, it's nice, it was raining today, then we go to our homes and we feel so nice and cozy. We feel nice and warm. We feel comfortable. There's some people who at the end of the day, they have no place to go and feel comfortable. They have no place to go and cuddle their daughter. They have no place to go and feel the warmth of a family and share the laughter that we do every single night. No place. The fact that we have running water is a ni'mah. I had one student, I found out about her, subhanAllah, in the United States. I'm not talking about some third world country. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought such a time on them that they were in such poverty, they didn't have running water. When they had to use the bathroom, they would have to go to the local places, local stores, use the bathroom there, make wudu there, and then they would offer their salah. Didn't have enough money to pay for running water, this country. They would keep in contact with me, so I knew, but I never knew Akhwal were like this. But she never complained about it. I didn't even know this. I found out from some other third party source. In all of her correspondence with me, never once did she complain. Never once did she complain. They said, this is my difficulty, this is X, Y, and Z. This is the same person, if I'm not mistaken, I would get correspondence from her. It feels that when I pray, that I'm praying before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Every cell in our body that is dividing is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many cells? You can't count the cells on one finger, much less our entire body. Every single one. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, proportioned us. Every single cell is proportioned in such a way, every cell is a masterpiece. Ask the molecular biologist. Ask the geneticist. That's what I do, right? Molecular pathology. Every single cell is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of engineering. It's a masterpiece of orchestration. It is a masterpiece of art. Right? In fact, I'm talking about even from an aesthetic standpoint. There are people who actually take electron scanning microscope views of things at the cellular level, and it becomes a displayed art because it's so amazing. Every single cell is artful. This is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dividing day and night. It's the program for one gene from the 30,000 genes that exist. One single nucleotide gets thrown off, It becomes an activating mutation in an oncogene. There you go, you have cancer. And millions of cells have divided over our life and we walk around with complete health. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can never count it. Can you count how many cells you have in your body? If you cannot count that, then how can you count the blessings of Allah? The fact that we have the sun is a blessing. إِن جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَنْجَعَلَ لَكُمُ النَّهَارَ صَرْمَدًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ The fact that, for example, we have the moon is a blessing, right? But the sun is also مَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ That's correct. مَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ إِلَهٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ جعلكم الليل صرمدا إلى يوم القيامة من إله غير الله يأتيكم بضياء أفلا تسمعون. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to create the night perpetually for you, there's never any day, who will bring you the light of day? And what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created night perpetually? I mean, day perpetually, who would bring us the comfort and the veil of night? Allah. I've started writing about these different ni'mat, and for each one there's a verse, and I kept on writing and writing, and it would be enough to go on for 1 or 2 hours. Right? I'm not going to go through the entire list, but suffice to say that there are so many blessings that a person is drowning it. Look at Islam. Islam is the biggest blessing. Alhamdulillah, bi ni'mat al-Islam, kafa biha ni'ma. We didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam. He gave it to us for free. And we didn't even say thank you. We didn't even say thank you. My teacher, one time, he was going on a plane, and from his peripheral vision, there was, I think, a French lady, and she was on, she was feeding her child. And she said every time she would feed the child, she would say to the child, say thank you. So the child would say thank you. She was training the child that every time she puts even one niwala in his mouth, one morsel of food in his mouth, that you say thank you. How many morsels of the food of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have we eaten in our life? How many meals have gone through in our life and we forgot to say Alhamdulillahi ladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana minal muslimin? More times we've forgotten to mention Alhamdulillah than we've remembered to say Alhamdulillah. More times we've drank water from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without saying Alhamdulillah, right? جَعَلَهُ أَذْبًا فُرَاتًا وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ مِلْحًا قُجَاجًا. Who has made it nice, fresh and sweet, he could have made it salty. A whole life is a preponderance of ingratitude. And our whole life is a preponderance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still showering down His blessings. Every blessing we have is a blessing. Every blessing that we don't have is also a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give me a BMW, that's a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give me a mansion, that would be a blessing. The person says, oh, what if I was in the time of Rasulullah? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make us in the time of Rasulullah is probably a blessing for us as well. What if we would have been from the kafirin, from the munafiqeen at that time? Whatever situation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in is the best situation for us. If a person realizes this, then they should very quickly realize that we should always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the idea for the 5 daily prayers. The default setting was that a person should be in sajda from the morning till the night. Because your ni'mah is from the morning till the night, you should be constantly in sujood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you at least 5 times. Just say thank you. You don't have to say thank you with every morsel of food that I give you. You don't have to say, you know, thank you with the 80 times that your heart beats every minute. You don't have to say thank you with the 16 times that you respirate every minute. You don't have to say thank you for every cloth that you put on your body. Just 5 times a day, stop and say thank you. That is the haqiqah of salah. It is the way that we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank you. In fact, how do you begin your salah? Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. When you say alhamdulillah, you know what this means. They say praise be to Allah. You know, people don't understand how deep this word alhamdulillah is. Maybe we'll talk about it a different day, subhanAllah. But it's much vaster. It encompasses thankfulness, right? Suffice it to say. Person should be thankful for every single thing in their life. And a person then begins to think that, how can I be thankful to Allah? Okay, it's very clear that I should be thankful to Allah. How do I be thankful to Allah? Thankfulness is of 3 types. One thankfulness is the thankfulness you feel in your heart. This is the beginning of thankfulness. When this feeling starts becoming, then the second type of feeling, the second type of thankfulness is ashukru ala lisan. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your tongue. Something happens, you say alhamdulillah. You say, oh Allah, thank you for giving me this. This is alhamd ala lisan. And the third type of way that a person makes shukr is ashukru bil jawarih. That with your limbs you show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the ontogeny of this is that it moves from the first to the last. Matlab, when it's in the heart, automatically it comes on the tongue. And when it's on the tongue, automatically we're shown in action. A very poignant example of this is Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam, when he would say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya Allah, how can I say thank you to you? Every time I say thank you, that is also a blessing. I will never be able to thank you properly. Because every time you give me the tawfiq to say alhamdulillah, I should say alhamdulillah for that. And for that alhamdulillah, I should also have alhamdulillah. You keep on going ad infinitum. I can never thank you enough. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him that, Ya Dawood, now you have shown me true gratitude. The meaning being that when a person realizes his inability to thank Allah, that is a way of thanking him. But he didn't stop with his tongue. Now imagine how much alhamdulillah he must have had on his tongue. But like I said, if it comes on the tongue, it will also show in action. He lived a life of shukr. I kid you not. It comes in the tafsir of Imam Qurtubi, he narrates that Dawood alayhi salam, he changed the schedule of the entire household. And he said, let's make our house in such a way that people are going to sleep at a certain time, they're going to be awake from a certain time. And he assigned time for everyone to make ibadah. He created such a schedule that there was no hour of the day in the house except someone in the house was in the ibadah of Allah. He said, Allah, how could it be that your blessing on us is continuous and our thankfulness towards you is not continuous? اعملوا على داود شكرا. As it comes in the Quran. Entire day, 24/7, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings were coming. In Dawood alayhi salam, their family was reciprocating. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الشُّكُورِ. And so few of my slaves are really thankful. So few are really thankful. إِن تَكْفُرْ فِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ. If you don't say thank you to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm ghani. I don't need you. Ghaniyun ankum. I don't need you. In vernacular, that's how we translate it. But doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. Intakfuru fa inna Allah ghaniyun ankum wa la yarda li ibadihi al-kufr. He's not happy with your ingratitude. Kufr. Right? Because the acme degree, the pinnacle of kufr, of ingratitude, is to disbelieve in Allah. But kufr has a gamut, it has a spectrum. Every type of ingratitude is also a type of kufr. No one likes to look at themselves, right, as a kafir. No one likes to think of them as committing kufr. But when we are ungrateful to Allah, Right? And it's binary. Either you are grateful or you are ungrateful. If a person is spending a moment of time in ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, then that is kufr. Inna al-insana la zalumun kaffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. You are a zalim and you're kaffar. No, you want to see someone is angry, you say huwa ghadib. If you want to see he's boiling angry, you say ghadab, fa'al. Inna al-insana zalumun kaffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing us. That's why our mashayikh used to say, even a moment spent without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should deem it kufr. It seems like a heavy qawl, but now we understand why. Rasulullah s.a.w. imagine the dead of the night, he's standing in prayer, orthostatic tension in his vessels gets so much that he gets, you know, lower extremity edema. His feet are swollen, right? Plus two, plus three, pitting edema, you can imagine. How much he must be standing. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Ya Rasulullah, you stand so much in prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. What came from before and what comes after. You're just mafur. You're the beloved of Allah. You stand in prayer like this. How did Rasulullah say something? Reply, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a thankful slave? Something in the heart of Rasulullah. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he wanted to. He did it because when you're thankful inside, you want to do something. You can't rest. You know, like someone comes and, you know, one of the brothers here, he got me so many things. I felt thankful. I felt uncomfortable that when I went recently shopping for my family, I'm looking also what type of gift to get for him. Because when you're thankful, you don't feel comfortable until you are able to show your thankfulness. If you don't have that unsettling feeling inside that I want to show my thankfulness, that means that something is lacking inside. Just like you can't hide love, you can't hide thankfulness. So I wanted to spend the last portion of the little time that we had talking about this was the main thing that I wanted to talk about. Is before a person can become thankful, they need to teach themselves how to not be unthankful. That's a double negative. How not to be unthankful. And the way that you stop being unthankful is that you have to stop complaining. From a mu'min's mouth should never proceed a word of complaint. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't complain. I asked, like when we see righteous individuals, we try to find out a lot about their lives so that we can exemplify that. For example, one of my teachers, one of his students, he went and asked, he used to be chief engineer overseas. So I was sitting with him in the haram and he said that I would find anyone who interacted with him in life and I would tell him, tell me about him and how he used to live his life. So he found his driver. We used to drive him when he was an engineer. And he said that, tell me how he used to be at work. So he said, oh, okay, yeah, I'll tell you a story. He said that I used to drive him. He was so particular that if his job was till 4:30, till 5 o'clock, and it's 4:30 and he has a project which is maybe 45 minutes away, he said he would get in the car and he would tell me to drive towards that place, which is maybe 45 minutes away, full well knowing that he's not going to reach it. And only when the clock turned 5, he said, now you can turn the car back and go back. It was that particular because this was an amanah. So similarly, my teacher, Sheikh Hussein, I asked, you know, one of my close friends who was a hafiz, he was the chief resident at the University of Chicago, he works at him every day. So I asked him, how is, you know, Sheikh at work? I just wanted to know, like, how is the Sheikh function at work? Because that's a lesson in that. We all work, right? So how should you be at work? So there's different lessons, different stories for different days. But what the first thing that comes to a person's mind tells you their general impression, tells you the most prominent or most salient aspect of their, you know, experiential existence in that particular context. So what was the first thing that he mentioned to me? He didn't tell me some fantastic story. He didn't tell me some, like, you know, karama or something like that. He said, oh, you know what? The one thing that sticks out in my mind about him is Hazrat never complains. Everyone in the department is complaining about something. Everyone is complaining about something. He said, I've never, ever heard him complain about anything. Never complained about the residents, never complained about the salary, never complained about the hours he put in, never complained about the lack of thankfulness, never complained about the politics, never complained about the big egos, never complained about, I mean, there was thing after thing after thing, lack of resources, lack of funding, grants, never complained about anything. He just didn't complain. We have to value every single thing that we have as the best thing that we have. The best thing. No husband should say, my wife is a pain in the neck. No husband should say that. No wife should say, oh, my husband, he's so thoughtless and he's so X, Y, and Z. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, you remember a time in your life where you used to sit waiting and dreaming that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hope I have a wife. And my life will be so good if I have a wife. Right? Those days you would wait and count for the days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone, and when He actually gave you someone in your life, now you turn back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start complaining about it. Your father used to sit there worrying every night, making dua after every salah, Ya Allah, meri beti ki kahin shaadi kara de. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a husband. And now people sit and talk about their husband, oh, that my husband's such a jerk. You're a jerk for talking like that about a ni'mah that Allah has given you. You can't complain about anything that Allah has given you. There was a worker and a servant, and the king used to love him so much. So the people used to say, then why do you love him so much? He's just, you know, a regular servant boy. He said, okay, I'll show you. He said, I'm going to throw a big feast, you must all come. So he prepared a great feast, you know, the whole dasturkhan was full. Everyone came and sat down. And then he told the cook or the chef, do not put any salt in the food. Do not put any salt in the food. So he called everyone. Everyone came to sit down. They picked up the food, they put it in their mouth, spit it out. He said, what is this? Right? And there's an uproar, and people are saying this, and people are saying that. But this servant boy, he kept on eating it, no maze se, happily, as if he's enjoying it, relishing it. So people were so astonished. Right? They said, why are you eating like this? And he said, that hand that has fed me my entire life, such beautiful food, one time if he forgot to give salt in it, shall I become ungrateful? That Allah, who our entire life has drowned us in His ni'mah, one time our husband gives us a hard time, one time our wife gives us a hard time, we'll turn against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complain about that. People complain about not having enough money. Look at the people who have no money. People talk about those people who don't have nice enough car. Talk about those people who don't have a car. My wife living in Zambia, I'll tell you how it was like for her without a car. They don't have furniture in the house. They don't have proper bed to sleep on. And we think that our houses are not big enough. We complain that, oh, you know, X, Y, and Z. Talk about those people who are sitting in Zambia. Electricity goes on every so often. They have to live in the sweltering heat. Mosquitoes are eating you alive. Hey, regular, normal people. Right? Live the American life. And go and sitting over there. Talk about in South Africa when there's no type of heating system. Every single thing that we complain about, there's someone who doesn't have that. And what we complain about is because we don't have the nth or perfect degree of that X, Y, and Z. Talk about those people who don't have, people complain about their kids. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Right? Alhamdulillah, I just recently went to Chicago. I saw my niece Sophia for the first time. Right? SubhanAllah. I mean, she has like, her father's from German extraction. So, I mean, a very beautiful daughter, mashallah. And so I was, what's that called, holding her in my hand. And I knew for how long that they wanted a child. Right? And despite all the situations, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah blessed them with a child, I knew the type of happiness and how much qadr they have for that one child. Imagine if you could never have a child in your life, what it would feel like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us one after another, after another, after another. And then we sit here complaining about our children. Our children are like this. Our children are like that. My parents are like this. No, our parents are like this. Allahu Akbar. One day when you pick up the phone, you want to call mom, she won't be there. One day you want to talk to dad, and you dial the number, and there's no one who's going to be on the other side to pick up the phone. People say that, oh, my dad is such a X, Y, and Z. I was recently listening to a bayan, he was saying, I have heard that heard a daughter say to her mother, "Bhogna khatam kar," right? Stop barking. And he was astonished at that. We hear worse than that in this country. B word, F word, this type of word, to one's mother, who fed you when you couldn't feed yourself, who washed you when you couldn't feed yourself. People complain. People complain about their jobs. Talk about those people who are sitting at home, unemployed, with their children, worrying how they can provide for them. My salary is not enough. You have a salary. People are not willing, they're not ashamed to complain about anything in their life. In fact, everything in their life, they have a complaint about. Everything. My husband's not good enough, my wife is not good enough, my kids are not good enough, my career is not good enough, my job is not good enough, my house is not good enough, nothing's good enough. The reality is, all of those things are good enough, we are not good enough. We're not good enough to do the qadr of that ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Look, life is not perfect. If it was perfect, then it'd be Jannah. Right? Do you want to make your Jannah on earth? Earth is never going to be Jannah. Earth is never going to be Jannah. There's always problems. That's life. Right? You have to wake up and smell the coffee. But you can't complain about it. And not complaining about it is not enough. When you have some type of difficulty, and this is what sort of a subtle point, but an important point to understand. We said, how does shukr start? It starts in the heart. Goes where next? Tongue. And after the tongue? Actions, limbs. When it comes to getting complaints out of your life, it works the opposite way. First, you have to stop it in your actions and your tongue. You have to start complaining with your tongue. And then you can move into the realm of your heart. Right? The process is like reverse osmosis. You have to go the other way. And then it's not enough that you stop complaining with your tongue. Your heart should not be in a state of complaint. You know, something happens and you get tense and you get grumpy. That's not okay for a moment. Right? This whole kick the dog syndrome. You had a hard day at work. You come home and start getting grumpy with your kids and your wife. And you know, it's called kick the dog in Freudian psychology. It's like a lower form of coping. That's not okay. Why are you grumpy? That you sit here. Ask the Syrian children, I've seen pictures of them sitting with the snow around them, sitting by these tin cans with some fire coming out of it, trying to warm their hands. If someone has a right to complain, maybe they have a right to complain. I was at another bayan, at this one conference, one of the speakers who was there, or the performers, he said he saw his own mother killed in front of his eyes. We have something to complain about. We have something to complain about. Never a word of complaint, but never even the feeling of complaint in our heart. This is a thankful heart. Our mashayikh used to say that, what is the big thing about sabr? Even the alley dog does sabr. You don't have any choice. You have to be patient. The wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does shukr. When things are not going your way, you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm happy. Mawlana Shafi'i Thani once one time asked that even when you get sick, this is also a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so how can we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please remove this illness from me. Because you're asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take a ni'mah away from you. Just imagine how these people used to think. Their thinking level was at a different level. So Mawlana Shafi'i Thani, rahimahullah, he said, you're correct. That's true. When I make dua, I do not say that. I say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, replace this ni'mah with a different ni'mah. It was in their psychology that they had a thankful heart, and so everything they say coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to see it as something beautiful. And for people who can make their heart like that, I'll tell you, you can be sleeping on thorns, but your life will be a bed of roses. You can be sleeping on thorns, but your life will be a better process. When I was in South Africa, I'm reminded, and we're close with this, there's this one sister my wife knew, and their family was just an amazing story. I mean, the sacrifices that her brother used to make for the deen, he ended up having to get a divorce. He would be sitting with his daughter, so much fikr for deen, so much love for deen. And it was like one of those stories that you could write a novel about, right? It's like a tearjerker. And he would say that sometimes I'd be sitting, just because I don't have anyone to talk to, and I'd be talking to her, like, I don't know how old she was, 8 or 9 years old. And she was like wise beyond her years. She was like one of those, Aisha radiallahu anha personalities. And he said, I'd just be sitting here, and I'd be just telling her about my life, like crying my tears to her. And then I stopped, and I realized that, wait, she's just 8. She's just a kid. And she would give him solace, and she would give him comfort, and she would get him through his hard times. His sister, she said that I walked into the madrasa, and my teacher, he started teaching me shukr. And she said, I kept on working on shukr, She said, by the time I left the madrasa, I was making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every brick that made the walls of the madrasa. We didn't complain about the teachers. They didn't complain about the lack of resources. They didn't complain the lack of a degree. They didn't complain. She said, every brick in the walls was making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shukr for. This kaifiyah shukr has to become into our lives. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to live their lives without ever being a complaint to their tongue or complaint to their lips. And beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who never, the feeling of complaint arises in their heart. And beyond that, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are in a constant state of thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can also say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a grateful slave? وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Every week we spend a little bit of time in dhikr and mention various formulas from the Qur'an, for example. A person just repeats it to themselves, thinks about the meaning in their heart. For example, if I say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, person just thinks that there's no strength to do good deeds, and there's no strength to keep me away from bad deeds except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one particular meaning, for example. La ilaha illa ant, there's no Lord except for you, Ya Allah. Subhana, grand are you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, I'm truly a zalim because I haven't done shukr for you the way I should have made shukr. Just a time to just think to ourselves, and in between I'll say salawat, then just send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we send durood one time to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 durood come back on us. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب لا تذرني فرجا وأنت خير الوارثين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ولي المؤمنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. وصوت الستين is holy book. واذكر ربك في نفسك. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. So for a few minutes inshallah, we'll just remember, for a few moments, we'll remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts.